Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I think I'm Phil. I'm not really sure today, but I'm Phil.
Okay, you're Phil. Now, Phil,
man,
this is a weird episode again, and I feel like every episode we've done for the past like 3 months has been like, this is a weird episode.
It's always weird.
Yeah, it's always weird. So today, for our listeners,
things are different.
There's no music behind us while we're recording. Now, when you're listening to this, there'll be music on it. That's, hopefully that lines up with the beat. That's a lot of production work for you now, Phil. Good luck.
Have you ever asked Siri to beatbox for you? Boots and cats and boots and cats.
Yes.
That's what she says.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have heard the Siri's attempt.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's been going on, Lucas? I haven't seen you in a while. I kind of miss you, buddy.
Yeah, I miss you too, man. Yeah, we've had a great couple of weeks up here. Exhausting, but good. We had started our lunch ministry last week and have been delivering close to 1,000 lunches a day. And then we had Bible clubs this week and a mission team come in. And so it's been really cool. We had 3 kids give their life to the Lord on Wednesday. So really, really awesome stuff. So
yeah, very exciting.
Yeah,
very, really very cool. Exciting.
So what about you?
No, we're fine. Now we're getting ready to go to a youth camp here.
Yeah.
Faith Week is happening. Leave early tomorrow morning. And, you know, it's just, it's always an adventure because you're off the ground, literally. But it's always an amazing time. You know, you get away and God deals with students and adults as well. And you know, one of the cool things about camp, a lot of times, is people experience the presence of the Lord for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's whenever I describe going to youth camp with our students. It's always, you know, it's a lot of fun. There's water slides, there's rock walls, there's all this stuff to do. But more important than any of that is we get to experience God and His presence.
Yeah.
And like, especially for those that are going unsaved, like this can change your life forever. This is going to be amazing. And so just focusing on that and that, like, it's not like we're going for the rock wall and, you know, Jesus is cool too, but it's like, hey, we're going to go experience God, you know, and rock walls are fine too. So,
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're excited about that and getting ready for that. It's a little stressful, especially being gone, you know, the service is going off without some of our key people that are going to be with us at camp.
Right.
But that's also good because people have to take more responsibility and it's good for them. People grow, the people that stay behind grow in what they do and how their understanding of the ministry and,
or they have a huge meltdown. Either one.
And that still can be growth.
Hopefully.
They grow. It's delayed growth. They have a meltdown. They leave the church for 6 months and find a new church. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yes, we've all
growth.
We've all met
growth.
We've all either done that or seen that. Yeah.
That's what I call growth.
So,
hey Phil, I have a really important question for you that we usually get to
what?
Way sooner,
what?
And we need to answer in an abbreviated fashion. What's the best thing you had to eat this week?
Okay, so I went to a place here in town called, it's right near the church. It's called The Mighty Pig. What's it called? Something to do with pigs or...
Oh.
It's a barbecue place.
Naughty Pig.
The Naughty Pig. What did I say? The Mighty Pig.
The Mighty. The Naughty Pig.
Hey, that's
pig.
A new one. Naughty, not like N-A-U-G-H-T-Y.
K-N-O-T-T-Y.
Naughty as in K-N-O-T-T-Y. Which, when you think about it, do pigs get knots? I don't know.
I have no idea how it works, Bill.
I think it's a reference to the wood that you cook the meat of the pig on. So when you kill the pig, murder the pig, the cute little pig that's on the side, they murder that and then they burn its flesh with naughty wood. Anyway, so we went to, if you really want that graphic, disgusting.
Thank you, Phil.
Description of a barbecue restaurant.
Once again, we're looking for a new co-host. So.
Yeah. So, you know, welcome to the land of the happy carnivores. We just deal with it. So the food was good. Okay.
Good.
I will say this though. The portions were enormous. Mm. So there's, you got a lot of working guys in there. That's how you know a place is good. If there are a lot of pickup trucks outside and service trucks, pickup trucks with names on the sides or vans with names on the side, you know that place is good, or you at least know the portions are large. And yeah, Naughty Pig was good, but the thing that was so good is their hot barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
It was like cocaine. It was addictive. The hot, spicy barbecue sauce.
It's addictive and terrible for you.
Oh, it was wonderful, though. No, it's just sauce. You said, it's not doing much.
I thought we would take the cocaine comparison further, Phil. I don't know. We don't want to tell our listeners, yeah, do cocaine. It's like barbecue sauce.
No. You only do a little cocaine. It's not bad. You don't use very much. No, it is like cocaine because it's you don't have to use very much. It's very powerful. Do not use cocaine. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Do not use cocaine. Unless, yes. No, I'm joking.
All right.
You know, Phil, it's funny.
So what about you, Lucas?
Well, I was going to say the first time I went to the Naughty Pig, I walked away very unimpressed. And I went back one more time and it was decent. But I never walked away thinking like that was so, so good. So
okay. Well, I was more impressed.
Okay.
Maybe I was hungry. Maybe that was the thing. I did not eat nearly all of my onion rings, which were amazing. But the sauce, man, that barbecue sauce.
All right.
So, so what was the thing that impressed you this week?
It's funny because
in your food life.
Last Friday, we met my parents and my brother and his wife and one of their babies at Spencer's Barbecue out in Midwest City. And let me just say,
barbecue theme this week.
Their barbecue sauce is the best. Like, it's my favorite barbecue sauce. And they're
Spencer's, where is
it? In Midwest City, Oklahoma.
Midwest City.
So, Spencer's Barbecue and their chicken. It is just, I know people don't like this word, but it is just so moist and so good. Like, it is the best barbecue chicken I've ever had. And so,
you know, I never thought about that word until someone, I think it was one of my students, actually. One of the, you know, when I was teaching high school, one of the boys told me, "Hey, Mr. Blunt, you should try and really work the word moist into your lecture because so-and-so really hates," I don't know who the girl was, really hates that word. So, you know, the rest of the year I was trying to work that into my lectures just, you know, to freak her out. So,
Phil Blunt.
It's hard to work it into a Bible lecture. It is. But now I hear that word and I'm like, ew.
Gross.
Yeah. So Spencer's Barbecue. Yeah. Well, that's great.
If you ever get the chance.
So is it time for, I'm kind of thirsty.
You want some orange juice?
Is it time for the, yes, I do. I want some orange
Gen
juice.
Gen Z word of the week.
You know, I saw a preview, speaking of Gen Z words, I saw a preview for a movie this week and it is produced by Questlove, and it said, you know how they say, a Steven Spielberg film. It said, a Questlove John.
What?
It said, a Questlove John, J-A-W-N. That was one of our words.
Oh, nice.
I don't even remember what it means. I know it's, what is it? It's something awesome?
It means anything. John is just, it means anything.
Anything.
I'm a John, well, you're a John, everybody's a John. Remember?
So, Questlove is rocking the Gen Z words, although he is not Gen Z.
Who is Quest? I don't even know who Questlove is.
You know who Questlove is?
No.
Questlove is the drummer, songwriter, leader of The Roots, who were the band for
Jimmy Fallon.
What? Jimmy Fallon. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know The Roots. So, yeah. I didn't realize that was his name. So yes.
The Roots.
I do know Questlove.
Yeah.
So Phil, Gen Z word of the week. Sleeping on.
Sleeping on. Well, okay. So basically what you're saying is I would say that somebody's sleeping on something. Like, so you're sleeping on that. I'm going to sleep on that. Or what? Right? Am I using that? How would I use that?
I can't give it.
How would you use that? Use it in a sentence.
No. We talked about this. If I use it in a sentence, it makes it too easy. That's the first few weeks we decided that was not allowed.
But couldn't we change that back now? We have full control, Lucas.
We
can do whatever we want.
This is my game show, and I'll do what I want.
All right. So sleeping on, I'm going to say it's... I mean, to me, what's obvious is somebody that's not trying very hard.
So, like, use that in a sentence, like the way you just said, like someone who's not trying very hard. So they're sleeping on,
like, yeah, like this guy is sleeping on his relationship with his girlfriend.
Okay. So it's actually
right, so
like it would be y'all sleeping on Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. It's actually a really good podcast. So sleeping on is to ignore or not pay attention to. So it's used a lot, like, man, y'all sleeping on Trey Young. He's really good. Like, and so it's whenever something's underrated typically, and people aren't really paying attention yet.
So you're failing to appreciate something that's really good.
Right. Or you're failing to appreciate something that's not, but someone else thinks it is. Like, y'all are sleeping on the naughty pig. Phil says it's really good.
I see. Well, I kind of like that. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Some of this stuff is kind of creative. Some of it's just mean, but some of these Gen Z words are kind of creative. That's kind of cool. I will definitely not use that, but you know, it's still kind of cool.
I would be impressed if you did use it, Phil.
Would you?
Yes.
Well, maybe I'll try. So is it now?
Dad stories with
I have
Lucas.
To ask also, Stories with Lucas. Did we do the jingle for Gen Z Word of the Week? I don't remember.
I did. You didn't listen.
It's been a few minutes.
You didn't pay attention to me. Okay. You were sleeping on me,
Phil. I'm sorry.
So,
yep. So, I'm looking forward to the dad story with Lucas. I haven't seen Naomi in a while.
I know. I tried to FaceTime you earlier today, and you didn't pick up. I was gonna let you talk.
Yeah, sorry.
To her, so
I would have seen her. Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what's the story?
All right. So at Mission OKC, we have a warehouse that we meet at every morning. We put together the lunches. We pop popcorn, and they've cooked some hot food, and we do.
Yeah, I've seen pre-suns, pictures of it.
Bananas, Oreos, popcorn, and a hot. So it's a pretty cool deal. And every morning we meet in about an hour. It takes us about an hour and a half to 2 hours to make the lunches to send out all over the
city.
So
you say we. Who is we?
So we is a team, the pastor and his wife, and then, which is Anna. Everybody knows Anna if you've been listening to the podcast. And then there's all of the interns. So we have, I think, like 9 interns on staff right now.
Awesome.
And then we have the youth come and show up and help serve every single day. And so we have about 10 to 12 youth, 10 to 15 maybe on a good day, 15 youth, and then mission teams. And so it's a pretty big group of people in the warehouse every morning.
Wow.
And so,
you're meeting it, you're in there, you're putting together
lunches. And so Tori comes sometimes to help cook the hot foods. And so Naomi will come and either, like this week, my cousin Sierra was there helping carry her around, or
I've met Sierra.
You met Sierra. Yeah. Sierra's great.
Yeah.
And so anyway, somebody that we know will carry Naomi around. Well, Naomi wanted me, so I was carrying her around. And so Naomi, if you can imagine, was pointing at the bags. She actually wanted a banana, but it looked like she was grunting at them and telling them how to pack the lunches as we walked around the warehouse. So she gave orders to everybody. Here's how you do your job. It was pretty cute.
Right, yeah.
So, and then she got an Oreo, and that was the end of that. So,
Someday though, Lucas, this was sort of foreshadowing. That's what she'll be doing.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
She will be telling, I don't know if you remember, if you were ever around Jeremy's son, Michael.
Yes.
Like at kids camp. I mean, he was telling everybody what to do.
Yeah.
Because this is his place. He knows the place. Naomi is almost destined to be that way.
Right.
She is destined to be at church. Everybody comes to her place and she's just going to tell them what's what. She is going to be the boss.
As long as she does it respectfully, I think her mom won't mind. Tori's all about that respect, yo. And so,
yes.
Me too.
And
so we're going
to... And Naomi's already, her personality is just very sweet and pleasant.
She is so sweet.
So hopefully she'll be that way.
Yeah.
She'll be
that way. We hung out all morning.
No, I'm sorry. You're going to have to leave now. She'll be one of those kind of people.
Yes, please put an extra banana in that bag.
She'll put you in your place and make you like it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, Phil, today as we talked about, hey, what do we want to talk about today? Which is our normal discussion right before we hit the record button on the podcast. You said, and I quote, "My wife wants me to shoot from the hip more."
Shoot from the hip. Yeah. She likes it. She says that when I plan what I'm going to say, you know, I do those Friday morning devotionals. If you haven't checked out a Phil Blunt author Facebook page, check that out. On Friday mornings, I do a little Identity Fridays. It's also on Eastwood Tulsa's page, but there's a lot of other stuff on there too. So the only thing live on Phil Blunt author is my Friday morning identity devotionals. And so she has always said to me, you know, you should just turn it on and go. You shouldn't really plan. I was like, you know, that makes me nervous.
Right?
You know? I'm like, I feel like I'm not getting everything to say. Well, this morning, the way it worked out, it's just been an incredibly busy week. She and my daughter are out of town. So, you know, I things just get very difficult
right
when they're gone. It's not a normal schedule. So I went to bed a little bit late. I still got up at 5:30, an hour before that starts. But man, at 6:30, I still had no idea what I was going to say. And you have to give it a title. I gave it the title Surprise. So Friday morning Devo Surprise or something like that. And she texted me afterwards. She said, that was the best one you've ever done. So I'm like, I don't know. So we were going to shoot from the hip today, but we're not.
No.
Well, we still are sort of shooting from the hip.
You know what, Phil?
Because.
You know what, Phil? Let's shoot from the hip.
What?
So it's something I've been thinking about lately as I.
Okay. So you're changing.
Yeah.
Lucas is changing the subject.
This is all planned on my side in the last 30 seconds.
All right.
I want us to shoot from the hip, Phil. So you've read Hosea, correct? I want to make sure we're on the same.
Hosea. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful book.
Beautiful book. Well, I was just thinking, so Hosea, the prophet, this man who has devoted his entire life to following the Lord.
Yes.
And Hosea then is commanded by God, go find a hoe and marry her. Like that's
Lucas. That's kind of an offensive word for you to use.
I'm sorry. Let's use the
find a prostitute.
Let's use the biblical word, Phil. Find a whore. Is that better? That's used a lot in scripture. So,
What do they say? You know, the worldly term now that the politically correct term is sex worker.
Oh. All right, Hosea, go find you a sex worker and marry her, which already is...
Yeah, it's not even funny. I can't believe we're laughing about that.
Not good.
Anyway.
Not good.
Yeah, so, find this woman who is... And in that culture in particular, and in our culture as well, this generally is someone who has exhausted every other option for survival.
Right.
And that's where they are. Someone who has kind of reached the bottom as far as their options for trying to make it in life. And so now they're selling their body.
And I just, so he has her. And in the end, this is a beautiful story. And even at the beginning there, to go find her is a beautiful story, except for he knows, God has basically told him, this is to represent what Israel has done to me. And
right.
So he knows that this is not going to go well. And
right.
So then as his children are born, he has him name them just kind of awful names, right?
Right.
Like, what is it? Like, God will turn his back on Israel. And
The names are real. I'm going to look them up. Those names are.
And something
really
I didn't realize until as I was studying this week, they probably weren't even actually Hosea's children.
Yeah. Strong possibility the kids were not his.
Right.
Good. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so,
very interesting.
And really, you look at any of the Old Testament prophets, for the most part, right? Like, they are on the run for the most of their life. Like, they're called to live miserably. And as we look at, like, Elijah and Elisha, and we look at, like, lying naked on your side for, like, a year, right? And, like,
right.
Burning poop and all this weird stuff that God has called.
Yeah.
And so I just think, like, this is so contrary to kind of how we want to think about the gospel and how we want to think about living for the Lord. Because I want to think when I'm living for the Lord that he's going to make my life really, really happy. And we talked about happiness a while back.
Right.
So I guess that was kind of what I've been thinking on and where I've been dwelling is Hosea. And do you think in Hosea's life that the joy of the Lord was evident in the way he carried himself?
Wow, that's a great question. I think I would have to read it again, sort of looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say on the one hand that there has to be a yes in a way because he kept going. I mean, did Hosea ever complain about this?
I really, as I've been reading, I don't think there's like the chapter where Hosea comes to God and talks to him. Yeah, why have you put me through this? That's, you don't really see a lot of Hosea's emotion.
Right? You see that he just did it. Now you have to assume that it was heartbreaking for him.
You have to assume in all of this and like just thinking about even if they aren't his kids, like the love a father has for his children. For him to name them those things and for him to know that they too are just an example.
Yeah.
Would be.
Yeah. And I think it does say, the Lord said to me again, this is chapter 3, love a woman who is loved by another man as an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. So he's basically telling him not just to marry her as some cold, religious exercise, but
to love her, yeah.
You know, the implication is, and the command of God is to love her.
Yeah.
So it has to be really, really gut-wrenching for him to watch her continue to go back into, if you don't know the story, he marries her, they have children, she continues over and over again to go back into prostitution.
Yeah, and he has to go back into adultery. And buy her out of it. Right, like he has to purchase her time and time again.
Yes.
Which one of Tori's favorite books is based on Hosea. It's called Redeeming Love. It's really, really good, but it kind of gives a more emotion to this and kind of elaborates, if you will. So, which is, I think, a lot of these books where we're not seeing the people in them. And so it's really easy to just skim through Hosea, but stopping to think about, like, what would it be like to be called to that?
And I think that's a really good question to ask, and you bring up a great point. We miss the emotion of it. We miss the people in it. And so we want to take quotes from books like this, and we just want to use them, you know, or in verse 17 of chapter 4, Ephraim is joined to idols, leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring their rulers, dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And we want to use that to say, oh, judgment's coming to you because of your sin. And it's really a different picture than that.
Yeah.
This is really talking about the brokenness that comes from abandoning the God who loves you so much.
Yeah.
It's really a picture of someone who has, has been deceived by their own flesh and has been pulled away from God, who is the real source of life, and is now experiencing this emptiness and this constant yearning and this cycle of desire and dissatisfaction. And that's what, you know, Gomer, which, you know, her name's Gomer. I don't know. I grew up in the 70s. That's Gomer Pyle. You know,
it's not a great name.
You know who Gomer Pyle was? Have you ever seen Gomer Pyle, Lucas? Are you too young?
A little bit too young, Phil. I still love you though.
All right, all you youngins out there, Google Gomer Pyle. You'll know why. I mean, the name Gomer is still kind of funny to us anyway, but especially to those of us raised in the 70s, Gomer Pyle, man. I mean, the name Gomer is very funny because of that. But anyway, Gomer, this woman, the story is really about her brokenheartedness and her utter brokenness,
yeah,
as much as it is about God's. Well, it's almost, maybe almost as much. I mean, I think it's always more about God than it is about us, but the picture is so vivid when you look at it that way. Her brokenness, as well as God's brokenheartedness over her.
This book is a good, it shows God's heart in that his plea to return to the Lord at the end of chapter 14 and have them come back. And so you can either read this book and you read about Gomer and about Israel and you're like, look, they're getting what was coming to them. And like, look how God brings his revenge and this is what's coming to those that have been living against him. Or you can read this and see like you said, you talked about Hosea wasn't just called to this religious ceremony to marry Gomer. He was called to love her. And that's through the brokenness and the shame and the turning again and again and again back into her sin and back away from him into cheating on him. And so for the world, for us, right? That's, we are Gomer. We read this and we want to be like, I'm Hosea. And maybe what we are, if you are a believer, you have moved into that, but in the way that God has called us to love the people of the world that are broken and that are going to hurt us, right?
Yeah.
In that way.
That's a good point.
But even more than that, are hurting the Lord the way that we have hurt the Lord, and he has continued to love us and drawn us back to himself.
Yeah. You know, I think I have some friends in ministry, very dear friends, who have just recently gone through, or some people in their church have left, and they made a comment. They said, you know what, we're going to start going and getting counseling, not because we can't make it through this, but because, my goodness, we need to share the burden. We need to allow someone to help us bear these burdens, because, you know, sometimes the pastor gets very isolated, and the pastor or the minister doesn't feel like he has someone to turn to. So I just thought their decision to do that really pointed this out, that ministry, and really Christianity is ministry. As a believer, your relationship with the world is a lot like Hosea's relationship to Gomer.
Yeah,
you have to give yourself to people, and you know that there's a really good chance that they're going to hurt you.
Yeah, time and time again.
If you're hurtable, which you need to, you know, in some ways, then one of the things maybe you see from Hosea is that he trusted so much in the Lord that it hurt him, but it didn't destroy him. He kept going.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, again, and we don't know everything about this because it's abbreviated. Right. We don't see all the emotion and everything going into it. But I can just imagine that time whenever she's left me again and God's saying, all right, go get her. And just the thoughts of like, again, like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Right. Like, and especially here, you talked about the pastor and his wife, like feeling for Hosea here, because in ministry, it can be very lonely, but the one person that's always there for me is my wife. And so for Hosea here, as a prophet in Israel who's turned away from the Lord, already the rest of the country is pretty much against him because he's following God and they're not, and that's the way it works.
Yeah, many of those prophets were not popular.
No. And then
at all.
His wife being not someone who he could turn to talk about what God has called him to.
Absolutely.
You know, like that would be so difficult. So difficult. So...
Yeah,
but I guess
that's a great insight just to look at Hosea as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about giving your life for ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, and I guess we're talking about the same thing. I think about people who are not yet married.
Yeah.
You think, wow, that's going to be this big, wonderful gift of my life. You think maybe Hosea had that kind of thought growing up? Sure he did.
Yeah.
As a Jewish boy, he probably thought, I'm going to have I'm going to have the most amazing wife and the most amazing kids. And then God says, well, actually, here's what I want you to do. Oh my goodness. He really gave his life for the Lord. Really trusted the Lord with everything. What a deep part of his life to kind of make, to lay on the altar, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think earlier, you know, when I asked if you thought that Hosea's life was filled with joy, you know, did he show the joy of the Lord? I think for him to have been a prophet trusted with this mission, obviously he had the joy of the Lord. Right. The fruits of the Spirit, I think you in the prophets, you would see those as the Lord has come to them, even though the Holy Spirit is not yet, you know, indwelling them. But still, and I think the other side is because that spiritual maturity that comes, and we've talked about this a lot, where we're not looking for the physical blessing as much as to know God more. And so right. Hosea had a unique glimpse to see just how much God loves his people as he was able to experience that himself. And we think, you know, if this guy's following God, God was giving him all the love he needed for Gomer. And in those moments, yes. because Hosea himself is not capable of loving Gomer. We are not. I mean this is the one thing that God said, hey, this a divorce is allowable here if this happens.
Right.
And yet, because he knows that humans are not capable of overcoming that, but he is, and his love is capable. And so Hosea, I think, got this really intimate picture and was able to know God in a way that a lot of us will never, until we get to heaven, know, because God called him to this. And so it is that, yeah, like,
you got to experience that broken heart.
And I am not jealous of that.
Don't
catch me tripping. This is just right. It is Hosea.
I would also say that this is such a great picture of the true nature of love that we mm-hmm. really misunderstand in our culture and in the church, sadly. But the true nature of love is that you get filled up by giving.
Mm-hmm.
You get filled up by sacrificing, by emptying yourself.
Yeah.
That's how the joy of the Lord comes, is by, you know, giving and giving and sacrificing. And I'm not talking about being a workaholic. I'm talking about loving like God loves. And
yeah.
Hosea got a chance to sort of taste that. And we have the opportunity to experience that as we, you know, I like to say that, you know, Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, and God is love. But when they sinned, instead of being vehicles designed to give love, suddenly they became sponges in need of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're actually meant to be givers of love, because love is giving. And we think love is receiving. You know, we've gotten yeah. this twisted idea because of the brokenness of the sinful nature is a sponge. It's a taker.
It is.
It's a needer.
And I think it is too, you know, as we're called to know the character of God, when we read about love in Scripture and what God calls us to in love, and how he deals with us in love. 1 Corinthians yeah. 13, if love were about receiving, patience would not be needed. Right.
No, and not seeking its own way, right, and not keeping a record of wrong suffered.
And then there would
and
be...
And Hosea is the perfect example.
There would be no command to love your enemies, right? You have right. heard it said to love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say unto you, love your enemies.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be necessary exactly. if it were all about taking. It's all about giving love. And when we get that in our mindset and seeing the character of God, where God knows that we're going to fail him, God knows that we are going to cheat on him, God knows that we're going to turn back to idols, and yet he still loves us and he still saves right. us. And so for us to be like, I'm just done with that person because they were a turd. Like, God yeah, called you
cancel
to
cancel culture.
Cancel. Yeah. We're called to love our enemies. And again, they're...
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted, because there are certain things you need to walk away from. But I think looking back and examining your life, is your first step to run away and like cancel this person? Or is your first right. step to, are you leading with love? This last Sunday, I had the privilege to preach, and that's what we talked about, going in with an attitude. And I brought up the example of, are you coming in with boxing gloves on, or are you coming in with gardening gloves? Because if you're trying to plant and grow something in boxing gloves, you're going to do nothing but smash it. Boxing gloves are only good for fighting. But if you're coming in with love, you're able to grow and nourish that, and knowing full well that you may get hurt. Knowing full well, like
that. And if you have gardening gloves on, you could still punch pretty well.
We are called to love and defend. So, but it is.
Yeah.
Are you leading?
Maybe the analogy breaks down there. But
are you leading with love? Or are you just ready to fight?
Very
because
good.
If you're just ready to fight, you're going to find an excuse to fight. If you're just looking to whine, you're going to find a great reason to whine. But if you're looking to love, there are so many opportunities to love, and love doesn't expect something in return.
Yeah, very good.
So.
Very good. Well, that's really good stuff. To me, that sounds and tastes like oatmeal.
That does.
That love does not expect anything in
feels
return.
Feels like oatmeal, a little bit mushy, kind of weird to hold in your hand. If you haven't held oatmeal in your hand lately, it's just not a great experience.
Just try it. Not when it's too hot, though.
Yes, let it cool.
Wait till it cools down.
Let it cool. And then throw it at your significant other in love, just like a food fight splatter. Anyway, this is.
Make sure you have time to clean up before you have to
get work.
This
is dating advice
though.
With Lucas, or married advice if you're throwing oatmeal at each other. Probably. Yes, Phil?
Probably.
You have any minute of culture? I haven't.
You know what? I do.
It's not Loki, is it?
I binged the first three episodes of Loki last night. I absolutely love it.
All right.
Have you watched any of it yet?
I've watched half of the first episode, but it's not my fault this time. My little sister, Leah, who I love so much and is listening to this podcast right now, we're trying to watch it all together. And we have to find a time when we can all watch together, which last night we were going to watch all three episodes, but Naomi was feeling ill, and so we couldn't.
Well, okay, so here is my 3 minutes. I don't know if I think I'm just griping, okay? This is my 3 minutes of curmudgeonry.
All right.
3 minutes? I don't know. Minute. My minute of curmudgeonry.
Curmudgeonry with
usually,
Phil.
Yes, curmudgeonry with Phil. Curmudgeonry with Phil. Anyway, so it's not nearly as nice of a jingle. But you know how... When we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the cultural war between Gen Z and millennials, and, you know, they talked about like the things that Gen Z hates about millennials are like skinny jeans.
Right.
And what was one of them was one we were talking about.
The side part.
Side part.
No show
and
socks.
One of the things. Right. One of the.
Sorry.
One of the things they mentioned was saying words like adulting.
Oh.
Adulting. Turning, and I just have to say, millennials, I love you. You're my children. You're my podcast partner.
Yes.
I hate that. Stop it. Stop turning nouns into verbs. So we're watching the NBA Finals, and it's sponsored by who? Have you noticed?
No.
When they flip the NBA logo around, it's Chipotle.
Oh.
So Chipotle, of all people, I know millennials are your people. But come on, do you not know that that is over? That everyone has figured out how dumb that is to turn nouns into verb. But the whole ad campaign is a new way to Chipotle. A new way. It says it's a new way to adobo chicken. It's a new way to guac. I'm like, stop it.
Is Chipotle changing things or is it just an ad campaign? Because if it's a new way.
Yeah, no. They are. It is a new way because they're making quesadillas, but you can only pre-order them, which is weird because they don't want. I guess they don't want you standing in line or ordering a quesadilla that has to be grilled.
That's weird.
So the whole quesadilla thing is when I'm watching the NBA, not the finals, the playoffs. That all they want is this ad plays over and over again, and it's just
on,
like fingernails on a chalkboard.
I am not a Chipotle fan. I like Qdoba.
Yeah,
I'm a
either.
Qdoba guy, and so
yeah, I think it's a little better food just in general.
The fact that they are making a big deal about something we have all ordered since we were children. Just, you know, that says...
Well, I think that's part of it. I think the demand is there because that quesadillas are kind of... I mean, that's my daughter's favorite food. She's 21, so she's
child.
In between Gen Z and millennial. But, no, that's her favorite food.
So I
think that's probably a really popular thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. The commercial in my mind though is really annoying. Sorry if you love to turn verbs into nouns. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, which I don't know. I'm sorry, but man, that drives me nuts. Are you with me, Lucas? Do you feel my pain?
I never was on board with like adulting is hard or any of that stuff. But
right.
Part of the thing with adulting is hard to me, why I was frustrated with it was partially because I think adulting sounds dumb. But the other side of it is just the like, everyone does this. Like, get over it.
Right.
Like, no, nobody wants to pay taxes. But we, like, whining about it does nothing. You know, it's the rule that you brought up. Don't state the obvious. Like, of course paying your taxes sucks. Of course paying bills is so terrible. Obvious. Of course getting, like, yes, all of those things are true. And it's difficult. But we all do it together. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, the first time I heard the word adulting, I remember it. It's, and I thought it was cute. You know, one of my former students, I was asking her, so what are you doing these days? She said, you know, adulting. And this was 10 years ago. So I'm like, oh, that was cute. But after that, it's gone downhill steadily. And now Chipotle comes out with a brand new commercial just full of it. Anyway, so that's me.
I'm proud of you, Phil.
That's my griping self.
Well, if we're going to get to gripe, I just want to complain that the Thunder got the number 6th pick in the draft, and we watched
after
that terrible part of this, the terrible last half of the season. I mean, Thunder basketball,
and they only got
was
six.
Unwatchable. And so we had a chance to get 1 and 5, and we ended up with number 6. So if you don't like basketball, or you're like, I don't like the Thunder, like, I'm sorry for your life that you don't like those things, because it's wonderful.
Or if you're confused by the lottery system, which all of us are.
Yeah, really. It's weird. We'll explain that next week on Second Breakfast with Lucas. I'll tell you about how the lottery system works, because I did some
explanations
research,
with Lucas. Whoop,
whoop. All right. Well, we love you guys. We are so glad you've joined us. There will be music playing underneath us right now, but we can't hear it.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, and it'll have a great beat. Lucas, it is great to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you.
I've not talked to Lucas almost since the last podcast, I don't think. So, great to talk to you, Lucas, and great to be with you guys, listeners out there. We hope you get a lot out of today's conversation. We did shoot from the hip, didn't we?
We shot from the hip, and it was awesome.
We shot from the hip. So. Yeah, I thought it was great.
All right.
So, which is not all that odd for us, really, when you think about it.
Well, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please send those over to lucasmokc@gmail.com or phil@eastwoodtulsa.com or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
And don't forget, Lucas, secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
You know, Phil, that joke's never going to get old.
Never.
If you have any
people are rolling. We should give them just a minute to stop laughing so they don't miss the next important information.
Can you add some fake laughter in there right there? So if you have any complaints, please send those to someone else. Who cares? We love you guys. We're glad that you joined us. Have a great
Thanks
week.
Thanks for listening.
We will.
To Second Breakfast.
You will hear us next week.
It's, you know, when we're recording remotely, we talk over each other, so it's kind of hard. That's why that little awkwardness happened. Bye.
Bye.